Did you know that in the early church there was debate not only over who Jesus was and whether he was the Messiah, but there was debate over whether John the Baptist might be the Messiah, and that's why he had such a following. Yet it's interesting how these two prominent figures conducted themselves so differently. Jesus going from town to town, healing people, inviting himself to dinner at people's houses. And then there's John the Baptist, who stays out in the desert, wears camel skin, eats locusts, and everybody comes out to see him. Two very different figures. You see, John the Baptist had established a little bit of a, we might call it a church in the desert. A place to go to and to get away from it all. And so must we, during this Advent season, establish in our homes and in our lives a church of the desert. A place to be away from the stimuli of life so that we can encounter God. This can be done in many ways, perhaps by taking up a holy hour that you did not previously have, or finding quiet time for prayer in each day. It can also be done through penitential acts. You may notice that we've been wearing violet at Mass each week. And there's two reasons for that. One is that violet in the ancient world was very hard to dye. That particular color was hard to dye. And so only kings could afford the color purple or violet. And despite my love of Barney the dinosaur, that's not why I wear it. I wear it because I point to the kingship of Jesus Christ coming at Christmas. But it also has come to be known in the church over the last 2,000 years as a color that is significant for penance. Why? Because during both Lent and Advent, as we're preparing for the coming of the King, we often do that through penances, little desert experiences in our own life. When I crave that Starbucks in the morning, which I always do, by repressing that and saying, Lord, I'm going to give that up to you, I feel it. Sometimes my staff feels it too, right? We feel that missing in our lives, much like going out to the desert and feeling other comforts of our lives missing. We need this. We need this desperately to properly prepare for Jesus coming into our lives. I remember the first time that I was asked to go on an 8-day silent retreat up in Omaha. I was very excited about the idea because I'd heard so many people had such great experiences going on similar retreats. But after the first day, all I wanted to do was go home or give me a radio or a television show or at least a good book to read. But this whole being quiet thing's for the birds. You see, often what happens is when we are quiet, when we get rid of all that stimuli in our lives and we settle down and remain silent, it's pretty threatening. Because you know what you're left with? You're left with your raw, sinful self. And it doesn't feel too good. And what we usually end up doing throughout most of our days is trying to satiate that pain with many things. Our food, our drink, our clothing, our cars, our television, our radio. And when you get rid of all that, you're left with your raw, sinful self. But that is the only place that the divine physician can do his work. It's much like going to the doctor, and I was driving by in a funeral procession the other day. We were driving down Hillside, and I saw the office building from my old doctor when I was a kid. His name was Dr. North. It was on South Hillside. And I remembered two things. The first was very painful. It involved large needles in my rear end. But then I looked over at that building and I remembered the little cards we would get after we went to the doctor for a free Happy Meal at McDonald's. And I would remember going out to the hill behind the office and rolling down that hill with my brothers and sisters. Often, brothers and sisters, when we go to the doctor, whether it be one on this earth or the divine physician, many good things result, and they can hurt at first. I can tell you at the end of that 8-day retreat, I was at a deeper point in my spirituality than I'd ever been. And if I'd given up on those first few days of retreat, those first few days in the desert, it would have never happened. Do you remember the experience of Jesus, who before his public ministry went and spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert? And what does it say happened to him at the very end of that experience? Angels came and ministered to him. You should not expect any less for yourselves. God will send his angels to minister to you too. John the Baptist, in quoting Isaiah, also speaks in our gospel today about making straight our paths. And this idea of a path, this idea of a way, brings two things to mind. First, vocation. Did you know that God has a plan for every decision in your life? I've shared with you before my own discernment of my own vocation, and it was such an epiphany, and I hope each one of you come to this at some point in your life or have already. This realization that God has a plan for each moment of my life. Not just an overall plan, like, yeah, I want to get you to heaven and I want you to be happy. But so intimate a plan that he's guiding each one and every one of your decisions. Now, don't take that the wrong way. God is not sitting there controlling all your decisions. He gives you free will. But in each decision, he plans for your happiness, for your well-being, and that you might enrich the lives of the people around you with the gospel. The problem is sometimes we're disobedient to that plan. And that's where the second part of making straight our paths comes in. The need for repentance. Every year, you guys are so generous to me at Christmas. I've already got a stack of cards on my desk that I haven't even been able to keep up with. There's already a pile of goodies starting in the rectory kitchen. Thankfully, I have two roommates to help devour them now. And yet, you know what the greatest gift you could give me would be? That would make my Christmas more joyful than anything you could ever send or bring by, is if you would simply come to confession. Every Saturday, every morning, I sit in that confessional all by myself. And I'd like to think that my preaching was so good that there are no sinners left at Christ the King. But somehow I hear God telling me that that's not true. The greatest gift you could give me this Christmas would be if you would simply come to confession. Preparing for Christmas should be a joyful experience. Don't get me wrong. We should decorate, we should feast, we should go to parties, and we should have fun. But we should also take time to go to the church of the desert to be with John the Baptist. John the Baptist prepared people for the coming of Christ in the desert, and we are called to do the same. To be prepared for Christ in the desert. I encourage you to find a way in your own homes and in your own lives in these two remaining weeks before Christmas to be alone, apart from the world with Jesus, and to make straight your path, so that you may prepare not just for Christmas, but for Christ.